Welcome, everyone, to the TCR Podcast, episode 116. I'm your host, Justin Skirbo, and today I'm joined by Justin Chow.
Hello.
And I'm joined by Liz Isui.
Hello, Justin.
We are not joined by Alex Shuck, who unfortunately can't make it. I believe he's in Connecticut or something. What's happening there?
Who cares?
He's serious.
Don't tell him I said that.
Guys, we have some pretty cool news to talk about today. Nintendo got a new online service. Capcom's actually doing something right with their lives.
Yeah.
Microsoft.
And in regard to the Capcom thing, Liz, you're not doing something right with your life.
Yeah.
And you know what we're talking about. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, why don't we talk about that right now?
Should we?
Yeah, Liz.
Why aren't you?
What's going on in your life right now? Well, you've been playing God of War. Yeah. You've been playing God of War. So that's okay.
But now that my brother deleted my save file, I have
bum bum bum.
Yeah. It's fine. I have no reason to go back to that anytime soon.
You know,
soon,
it's so funny.
But see, that's okay. Now at least it's like a clean, you know, the palate is cleansed. You can play something new.
That's a problem that I have not expected to ever have again after like the GameCube or N64. Yeah. Like after that, it was just like, there's no need for memory cards anymore. Like, what?
How would this ever happen?
Yeah. How did that happen? Like, honestly, the way that you explained it, it didn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. You're crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm just...
Well, hang on. I mean... We're over it. It's okay. You've come this far. You've gotten the experience. You beat the game, at least.
I did at least beat the game.
So that's the most important
thing,
I'd
say. He was like, oh, just, like, play on my file and it'll be fine.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. I want my Kratos with my weapons and, like, all the, like, customizations I've made that, of course, I'll never remember what I did, but I meant it at the time.
But I meant it at the time.
And it's not a game you can pick up and play again immediately after you've just played it, because it's so story-based.
Oh, yeah.
So much of it is, like, watching the story. Well, the first time you watch it, it's great, and revisiting, I'm sure, like...
You can't skip
I honestly don't think I would enjoy a second playthrough of this, which is as weird.
Like, I think I would like
not
it.
Not right off the bat.
But not right off the bat. Mm. I'd have to take a while, kind of forget about it, or let it, like, sit in the... And to the point where it's, like, nostalgic to play it again.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And then you
gotta play
a
couple bad games
happened.
And then be like, oh,
so good. Oh, remember that? That was genius. Yeah. That's the feeling you need to go when you play a second time, and you can't have that.
Yeah.
Like, you played a week after you just beat it.
I went back with a friend of mine who I wanted to show the game for the first time, and like, not having any of the moves that you get feels terrible. Like, you have two buttons and a block, and it doesn't feel good. It feels like, wow, I'm gimped severely.
Yeah.
You don't want to play that game. You don't want to play that game.
Yeah.
Once you know what you could have.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. That's like a kind of difficult pill to swallow whenever restarting like a Metroidvania kind of game.
Yeah.
Like a regular Castlevania or Super Metroid and stuff. You're like, I don't have double jump.
Yeah.
What
any
the fuck?
I feel like you're just playing it until you get to the part where you know, like, I just need to play until I get this one skill. I just need to, like, and then it'll be... And I remember, like, in Infamous, it was like being able to, like, grind on the wires. Like, when you first start that game, you can't do that, and, like, you're, like, traveling.
You're just walking so slow.
Oh, my God, it is so slow. When you start the game up again, you forget, like, how critical that is. And starting up again, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Like, when am I getting this skill? Just plow through the story until I get this skill.
It just
terrible.
Doesn't feel the same.
It doesn't feel the same.
You need time to forget all that stuff.
Yeah.
So then you can re-remember all
re-enjoy
that. Re-remember.
So since
not a word.
Since God of War is like completely off your plate, like, I'm kind of curious what you're looking to play now, and what's like the next game that's coming out that you're looking forward to.
Well, now we should play Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
100%.
Now we should play Monster Hunter.
1,000%.
But I also would like to try Detroit Become Human.
Well, that's not until the end of this month.
I know.
You got a solid 2 weeks.
So that's what I mean. So we have time to play Monster Hunter. And then I'll play Detroit.
The thing, I'm actually really, really excited about Detroit. There's actually three games I'm really excited about this month. Dragon's Crown Pro, which I'm super stoked about. If you guys want to play Dragon's Crown is really fun.
It's a 2D, like, side-scroller.
It's a four-player cooperative brawler, and it's awesome. It's super polished. Super polished.
Okay, right?
Me and Alex played it a lot back in the day. I had it on Vita when it first came out.
Yeah.
And this new version is supposed to be totally redone and made specifically for the PS4 Pro to look super nice and be all awesome high resolution,
that
frame
was like
rate,
a topic
blah, blah, blah.
Conversation back in like 2014, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I'm excited to play it. It's a budget title. I think it's only like $40, but I'm totally down to play
only
that again.
$40.
Dark Souls Remastered. That comes out soon, too. That actually comes out on the same day as Detroit. And what I'm stoked about Detroit, because it's something new, but since it's like a Quantic Dream game, I'm expecting it to be like maybe 6 hours, 8 hours, something like that. Like, I really can't imagine it's going to be a more than three-sitting game.
If you want to platinum it, it's like 40 hours. And then one playthrough, I think they said, was like, yeah, like
20?
A little longer, like 8 to 10?
Yeah, that makes sense for me.
Yeah.
And usually the platinum involves like beating and rebeating a game like that multiple times for like all the different,
to get
like,
all the different choices.
Yeah. But to
stuff,
me, it's almost like I'd rather just do the one. You know what I mean? Because it's
really?
Like
that sounds so weird coming from.
But it's like, but it's a unique experience. With that one, it's like you're truly just getting your story. The way that you want the game to play out is what you're doing.
So whenever
you know?
You play games, do you like do you, whenever you make choices in games, do you make them because it's a choice that you would make or because of the choice you want to see?
Good question.
In Quantic Dream games or games like that are like this, 100%.
In games that are like this, yeah.
Yeah. Until Dawn, Heavy Rain, 100%.
The choice you would make?
Yes.
Wait, can you 100%. Explain just for the hell of it for Detroit, right? You're talking about just choices you make in the game obviously affect your.
Have you ever played Heavy Rain?
I have.
Yeah, so it's like that.
Rain, yeah. Okay.
So it's like, do you chop
just
your pinky off with
like,
the saw?
Or like a Telltale game. Like, I'm always torn between whether I was like, should I play the fun?
Not enjoyed any Telltale games. I just don't play them.
I started the Batman when I liked it.
Telltale games are like a reverse funnel where it's like it gives the illusion that there's all these different pathways,
yeah,
but it all leads you to the same place.
Right.
With Quantic Dream games, it's at least like you could kill off major characters easily.
And have a
you
totally
know what I mean?
Different experience.
Yeah, it's like you kind of have to be rooting for certain characters that you want to do well. You know,
it's hard to
choose your own adventure. Tree branching system.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's much harder to make those games because you have to plan for all those different outcomes. But I feel like that's what everybody wants. Everybody really wants an actual unique experience where their choices matter.
Well,
otherwise, what's the point of making those choices?
Right. That's exactly right. It's like what creates that investment
if
in
there's
that
no
experience,
consequences,
right?
Then it's like
consequences is exactly the right word. That is exactly the right
something
word.
Something that I've been thinking about a lot more ever since like movies started being, and also like anime, also of course video games. But, like, consequences need to be, like, a thing.
Yeah. Like, if you're playing
like
Sonic Adventure 2 Chao Garden...
Game of Thrones came out, you realize what consequences are.
Exactly. Pretty much.
It's like if you're playing Sonic Adventure 2 Chao Garden, and you mean to pick up your Chao, but instead you somersault on him, and then they get hit across the room. And now they don't like you.
Yeah.
Consequences.
Every single time. Wow.
You should have been more careful. You should have been more careful about picking up your Chaos. We were playing that 2 days ago, so I'm like...
It's horrifying when you hit those things. It's sad.
It's upsetting.
But yeah, I actually never played Heavy Rain. So.
Really? Do you want to borrow it?
It is quite good. And
it's really good. It is a two-sitting game. It is a two-sitting game. Honestly, you should play that to prime yourself for this one.
Because that's what... Sometimes I feel like when you play games that are too similar back-to-back, then it, like, burns you out.
I mean, maybe that could be the case here, but because they're so short, it's almost like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wait for Detroit. Heavy Rain's good. I'll let you borrow it afterwards.
Heavy Rain is great.
Although my track record with letting you borrow games is not very good.
I will say, though, that Heavy Rain's voice acting is pretty horrendous, but that's fine.
They said the voice acting in this one is better.
Yeah.
Well, you played the same demo,
Heavy Rain
right?
is,
what?
Jason!
Yeah.
Jason! We played the same demo at, whatchamacallit? Yeah, so
I was listening to, reading, like, other news on it, people that had previews, and they said the voice acting's definitely improved from Heavy Rain.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, snow. Probably no
it just looks like a cool story. I'm very into like cyberpunky sci-fi kind of stuff. Like Heavy Rain was cool, but it was a little, it was very grounded. Yeah.
I don't
you
know
what
know
I mean?
The story of Heavy Rain, even.
Do you want me to spoil
my only
for
experience?
You?
Maybe not. My
okay, ready. You
like...
you are an adult, and your child gets lost, and you have to find your child.
Jason.
That's why you're yelling Jason in a mall.
Okay.
That's a very like loose description of what the game is, but that's what it is.
Know.
Yeah.
I don't know, androids kind of make me nervous. Like, that movie, Ex Machina?
Yeah.
Yeah, that haunted me for a while.
That was
really?
A great movie.
Yeah.
No, you know what fucked me up for a while?
Did it haunt you, like The Truman Show kind of haunted me?
The Truman Show did not haunt me.
Wow,
no,
really?
That was an entertaining movie. You know what
why
haunted me?
Why did The Truman
me?
Show haunt you?
When you start to be like, who's act? Maybe you're all actors, I don't know. I don't know.
That didn't occur
that's
to
a
me
little.
All.
That's
wow.
a little egotistical, Justin.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the center of the universe and everyone is just acting.
You thought about it like the way that like, you leave the Matrix, thinking like maybe we're all in the Matrix.
No, well, technically,
maybe I'm in the Truman Show.
If I was going to say, if we want to go down this train of logic, that is a totally fair thing. I mean, you're both essentially afraid of the same thing. Justin's like, is my whole life a lie? Are the people I'm talking to actors? And you're like, is my whole life a lie? Are the people I'm talking to actually androids?
Are they all just NPCs walking around? Could be. Beep boop beep boop.
But that's not like Ex Machina haunted me. Like, I don't know.
Like an android coming into like almost consciousness where it can now make conscious decisions, and it's actually sentient.
You know, because you think about it, why would the robots?
Have you watched Westworld at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yo, the new season sucks.
The new season kind of sucks a little bit.
I haven't watched the new season yet.
It's not good. Don't watch it.
Just the robots, you know, there's AI and all these things happen.
Yeah.
Why would they want us around?
Because, you know.
Don't you understand that, like, all life is trying to kill your gods? That's all life is. If we listen to any Final Fantasy game, that's what we're trying to do. Ha! We're trying to figure out where we come from and then be better than that person.
You know, I was so lost the robots are like for a moment.
No,
so you
I said that like, and I was just like, all right. Figuring out where you come from, realizing that's all a lie, and then being better than that person.
Yeah, yeah. You know what fucked me up, though, in the same vein? When we went to go see Avengers, we passed by a Chuck E. Cheese that still had the animatronics inside. And I caught a split-second glimpse of them and was like, I was brought back to my 5-year-old self just fearing for my life.
Terrifying.
I hate those things so
much.
Not even like on the Five Nights at Freddy's kick, like legit, those things fucked me up before.
No, yeah,
it was not cool.
Terrifying.
I hear you.
Damn,
yeah,
you.
The robots, they
Justin.
This is my fear. This is my fear.
Androids?
About androids is that we would build them, they would be better than us, and then they have no use for us.
Hmm.
Mm. Or,
and they would be like,
or,
this is much more efficient
or,
if we get rid of all of you, and then
or,
we don't need to make food, and that's so much more efficient,
or,
and then we could just exist.
What happens in, I forget what movie or show this was in, but everyone becomes cyborgs. Androids become so prevalent to the point where we have technology where we could just implement ourselves with the attributes of a cyborg, and suddenly people are fucking not eating, jumping over buildings, and
I think you're talking about the ending of Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Actually, I went to a
doing long division in your head.
Like, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson has the podcast Star Talk.
Yeah.
So at
love that podcast. It's great.
So
it's
at New York Comic
Con,
he filmed one or recorded one,
voice.
I guess.
I just love that.
And
man.
It was all about like human augmentation. And he essentially said, he's like, when we see it in movies, people think human augmentation is going to be taking things away from us, like replacing your arm with a robot arm. That's not what it's going to be. It's about like putting on some kind of armor, getting in some kind of, because humans are not going to want to hurt them, like, don't want to take that risk.
Yeah.
They're going to put on some sort of suit, and they're going to make themselves
enhancing stuff.
Exactly. Enhance
themselves
how in
they
some
say,
way
like,
externally, and he, like, picked up his phone, and he was like, this is a human augmentation. You can't think this fast.
Yeah.
Like, this increases your brain capacity by having this external
Actually,
object.
Hey, man,
I would totally enjoy
eyeballs that can, like, see through walls. That's fine.
So he was like, they'll add stuff to you, but never take away.
I know.
This is actually cool. Totally.
But I'm okay with them taking away stuff, too.
Can I give you an example of this that, like, really kind of, like, got me excited today? And then I was like, wait, I don't live in the city. This is totally irrelevant to me. I was watching a Casey Neistat vlog.
Okay.
And he was reviewing this new motorcycle that somebody sent him. It's not a motorcycle. It's an electric bike. But there's like three modes that you use it. The regular one, like, and it has these huge fat tires for like off-roading and stuff. But it's like the three modes. The first one is just straight up pedaling. It just works like a bike.
Okay.
It's just a bike. Right. The second one is called pedal assist, which is like you pedal once and it's like you had like mutant muscle legs that just jettison you super far. It's like half using electricity, but it's like he's like with the slightest pedal you're jetting with this
that's
thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it looks so cool. And then the last one is just full auto, but it kills the battery way faster. So he's like
the middle one
looks so cool. He's like honestly this is like he was like riding boosted boards and stuff.
Yeah,
he's like this is the most fun vehicle
you know,
I've ridden in a long time.
You use that for so long, the moment that you sit on a normal bike, you're like, what the fuck?
So you put the weighted vest back on.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like, you're like, no.
Dude, just, that's weird.
It looks so cool.
It's
like $2,000.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Fuck that.
I don't know.
Justin.
Well, the boosted boards are $1,000. Yeah, what?
He's trying to ask you a question.
I know.
Listen.
I'm curious.
I've been wanting a boosted board for the longest time.
But it doesn't make sense for us because we're not in the city.
I'm not like 16 years old anymore.
If
you're riding around in the city, even with a longboard, people are looking at you weird when you're like 30 something years old.
Are you 30 something years
old? No, not yet, but soon. I feel it. Sometimes.
I would
specifically wear a hoodie and sunglasses.
Dude,
so
if I had like
so I didn't feel judged.
If I had like automatic rollerblades, I would shamelessly be on that.
Yeah. Well. Rollerblades. Actually, it's funny. Whenever I'm in an airport, I always think, man, this would be so much better if I had the Heelys.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, people wouldn't respect me. But then at the same time, I could walk around way easy. I would just slide around. It would be so much easier to go to this bathroom that's like on the other side of the airport.
Did you have Mr. Horn in high school?
I did not, no.
Went to the same high school.
Yeah, we did. But what about
he had, like, teacher? He had Heelys, and, like, the first day of class, he tells you, he's just like, he said something, and he's like, I just want you to glide through this. And he, like, puts on the Heelys, and he just, like, smoothly glides across the classroom. We're like, where are we? What is happening?
For anybody who's listening, right, all I knew about this teacher was that he was very theatrical. And he was a lighting teacher, right? So
yes,
he actually picked fights with the lit classes and the lit teachers because there was like a weird rivalry between the Lang and the lit.
They were like the lit lions and the Lang lambs or something.
Yeah, it was funny.
Anyway.
This sounds so cool.
Yeah, sorry. So that was our high school experience.
Ask me your question.
I was just going to get back to video games.
He had couches in his classroom.
He did.
That's not weird. I've had plenty of teachers that have couches in their classrooms.
High school teachers?
Yeah, for sure.
We had one, and it was him.
Yeah.
All right. Justin, what kind of games are you playing?
He banged my Spanish teacher, too. She's really hot, though. Yes?
He did?
Yeah, I'm Miss Underwood. Anyway, continue. Yeah, games?
I knew which Spanish teacher you were talking about.
I know what I'm talking about, too.
Oh, my God. What video games are you playing? What Gideo Vames are you playing right now?
Gideo Vames. Let me tell you about my Gideo Vames. So, obviously, it's been God of War. I've been playing on Challenging, so it's been taking forever, but it's been a lot of fun. I would say that...
Can I tell you something about that?
Yeah.
I was very happy to see that there is no trophies tied to playing the games on certain difficulties. That made me really happy.
You would be.
Yeah. Not that I plan on completing this game in any, like, completionist fashion, but just knowing that I don't have to replay it again is, like, very nice.
I don't think we have to talk about God of War too much, because I think we've already overkilled it.
Yeah. This will be the third podcast in a row that we've talked about it.
The game is fantastic. There are no cutscenes until you die. And when you die, there's no loading times unless you die. And then after that, it's just, like, everything is just so seamless, and it's fantastic, and the graphics are great. 4K is fucking fantastic. PS Pro is great.
I
love it.
So, also, I will say, I did not love the combat the first time we talked about it.
Did you get the hang of it, though?
I did get the hang of it, and I used the runes a lot. I put, like, all of my you gotta learn what the stun does. The runes.
It's way satisfying, right?
I put all my leveling up, like, into the runes and into the cooldown, and that changed everything for me, because then I would just, like, blast those.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because we were saying I don't think it was on a podcast, but, like, how it, like, puts enemies into, like a stun for state, so you can actually combo them and stuff. Yeah, super useful.
And it's fun, too, because, like...
So I have since gotten the hang. We went home, and I was like, I'm gonna get the hang of this. Everybody says that they know what they're doing. I know what I'm doing, too.
That's a good attitude to have. And I love it when people have that attitude of just like, you know what, I'm just going to fucking, you know, bite
rather
the board
than,
here.
Yeah. Rather than, rip this my game teeth. Doesn't play right.
I cannot tell you how much I hate people who like, one, I think I figured out that I really don't like talk to my friends about things that I love because they always shit on it. Always. So I'm just going to recommend stuff and, you know, whatever. But there's times
you got to stop caring about what people think.
I know.
And no. You got
to stop hanging out with haters,
right,
man.
To talk to about
Don't
go up to Potts and tell him about you love something that you know he's
Potts is on, like, the positive train now. Ever since he got a PS4, I honestly haven't heard him, like, say negative things about game-related stuff in, like, a long time.
But you just got to know. You got to know
he's
what
he's
going to,
like. He's happy because he's gotten the
right game. Yep, exactly.
There are certain things, like, I know Alex is going to hate, and I'm like, I don't want to talk to you.
It's not even about hate.
Like, Jessica Jones.
Listen, it's like when the game... Okay, when you think
you
about it...
You just don't want to hear something negative about the thing you like.
Not even, right? This is the point of which I hate, right? And the things that I really don't like when people talk about it is, like, the game itself is like a calculator. That's basically what it is, right? Something goes wrong, then it was on you because you don't understand the game well enough, right?
Sure.
It's a calculator. If you get hit by a thing because you dodged, but you still got hit, it's because you either dodged incorrectly or the iframes just ended at the point of which... The attack frames are there, right? It's just a fucking calculator. But when you start talking about a game being broken or glitchy, but it's not, and it's fantastic, and it's you, I start getting a little, like, annoyed by that.
It's the kind of thing where, like, you kind of just have to humble yourself to the game. If you're just not good at the game, you have to be like, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like when people are complaining about when we're playing Smash, and they're like, I fucking should have grabbed that light. Well, obviously, you don't understand the game well enough.
Yeah, you didn't, though.
Yeah. Like, the reason why... Sure.
If it should have grabbed that ledge, then it would have grabbed
that
ledge.
Exactly. And so that's why when I hear other people, like what you just said, which is just like, I'm just going to get good at this. I'm just going to figure it out. That's what
I definitely
you need
knew it was
to
me.
Do.
And I kind of like, same thing with Monster Hunter. Like, I knew, I was like, I...
I'm really, really looking forward to playing that game with you.
Yeah.
Because I think you'll change your mood on it so fast.
The game is all about, and getting off of God of War, that's another thing that I've been trying to get back into is Monster Hunter, because we met a bunch of people over at the Full Sail University They were helping out at an event. Yo, yeah, absolutely. But they, those guys are really cool. We've been playing with them once in a while. Great, great time. And basically what Monster Hunter is, you can play it by yourself, but it is literally beating the shit out of monsters with friends. That's the actual name of the that's the actual name in Japanese. That's what it translates to. Beating the shit out of monsters with your friends. But that's been a really good game too. Again, okay.
So you haven't beaten God of War yet?
Huh?
I can't wait for you.
It's going to be one sitting. It's just because you're not focusing on that mission.
Just, right. Just, like, just beat it.
What
if someone tries to download their save file and you lose yours?
There's no benefit to doing the things that you're doing before you beat it.
Yeah, see, that's what people said to me.
When I was doing Kingdom Hearts and stuff like that, listen, I got to get the best blade. I got to get I got to beat Sephiroth before I beat.
Listen, if you're enjoying the game,
there's no benefit to doing the things you're doing before.
The game is fun,
but here's the thing:
if you're personally
assigning value to the end of the game, like it is some sort of checkpoint, then it's like. I mean, for me, it's like that was a point of finality for me. Like, afterwards, I fought my first Valkyrie, and that was cool. But, like, I was like, but the game's done, so I don't care. Like, it was more easy for me to put it down.
These things, and you'll do them anyway after you get to the end of the game.
Yeah.
Get to the end of the game.
Like, let me take you on a ride right now, a story, an adventure of how Justin plays video games. And not you, Justin. Me, Justin.
I'd love to hear this one. No.
It was third person, Justin.
Third person, Justin. For the first person, me. Anyway, so basically, the way that I like to play video games is like I understand eventually the scope of the game, what the finale will be, and once I get to that point, I avoid it as much as possible. For instance, like Zelda.
You don't really know what the finale is going to be.
You don't think so?
Like I was surprised at like. I was surprised it had happened.
Let's just stop. Okay.
Not like what happened or whatever. No, like just but, like. But let me tell you.
Like for instance, when I really enjoy a game, like really enjoy a game, Persona 5, Breath of the Wild, not Mario, God of War, Justin put it this way, I like live that game. Like I seep into the screen. Weirdly enough, I just like want to live that. Like so, there's times in God of War where I'm just. Rowing around and listening to Miramar and his goddamn stories.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, yeah, and just, I like the banter between all the characters. Like, Breath of the Wild. When I played Breath of the Wild, I was like, I understand the next thing is to obviously destroy Ganon, but I'm not powerful enough. I need to get all the memories, and I need to make sure that I get all the shrines, and I want to get all the items, and I want to get all the equipment and outfits, and I want to look fucking dope for my date with Ganon, and that's the way it's going to be. Like, that's just how it happens. When I'm looking at God of War, it's like, in that same vein...
Ganon, I want to go on a date with you, but I have to lose 5 pounds first.
Exactly. You know, weirdly enough, that's like kind of my life.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Anyway,
she's still going to bang you. Like, just go on a date with her.
I'm not ready.
Trust me, that 5 pounds did not make a difference. And the longer you wait to lose that 5 pounds is longer time that you could have spent with this girl. That's how I would look at it.
Dry spell's been long, man.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
But do you agree with me, Justin?
I'd rather not talk about the ending because I do think that it is a wholly novel and interesting experience.
Fucking ruin them, I'm not going to play this game anymore.
I think it is. I like the ending a lot. And I think many people will like the ending a lot. And not something worth spoiling.
All right.
Alex would be so pissed off right now if we were talking about this. Okay. Can I tell you about the stuff that I've been playing?
So, Liz, what have you been playing? Justin, what's up?
So, I beat God of War.
Yeah.
Very happy about it. And I've kind of been having this, it was funny. I look at my PS4, like, collection, like, what games I'm playing right now, and I'm like, there's so many here that I could continue, but I'm just like, no. I just spent the last 2 weeks of my life glued to this system. I'm going to put it down for a little while, and I'm going to play something else. So I've just been having this very weird kind of, like, revelatory experience with old games, and it's, like, a lot of fun. I think I had said on the last podcast that I got this HD
N64.
Yeah, this HDMI modded N64, and it is fucking awesome. And I'm like having
such polygons are sharp.
I am having such a fun time going back through these games that I played 20 years ago.
Yeah, like, what is the improvement in the?
It just, everything looks better.
It looks like you're playing it on a computer, like, emulator, almost.
Yeah.
It's like, and it, sharp as fuck.
It runs so smoothly. It's just, it's awesome. So, like,
grandma CRT.
Yeah. So, I'm, like, learning how to speedrun Super Mario 64, which is really fun. Like, yeah. The tricks in it are actually really, really interesting to learn.
Are you playing with the N64 Brawler controller?
No, just the regular SN64 controller, nice. Which is actually really nice to play with again. It's very weird. But I'm playing that. I just got Gauntlet Legends, which is, like, so fun to just turn on. It was, like, I had such, like, a really good kind of experience. It doesn't ruin friendships. It builds friendships. That's a great game.
I remember getting into a lot of fights about who gets what gold.
Yo, you and me and Alex are all going to be at my apartment tomorrow. We're going to play that game. And it's going to be great.
2 days from now. Friday. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit. I hear you. That's right. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So I've just been playing a lot of that stuff, and I've also picked up Risk of Rain again, even though it kind of never gets put down, but I picked it up again because we're playing it for Zero Exposure, and that game is great.
Yeah.
And literally just before this podcast started, we saw some footage of what Risk of Rain 2 looks like, and I think it's turning out really cool.
Have you played Risk of Rain at all?
It's really fun.
Explain it.
Risk of Rain is a 2D roguelike game. Where you play as just a character that has 4 cooldowns, and you basically, like, walk around and kill, like, oncoming waves of mobs that just continue to come as you explore a 2D level where you're unlocking chests with money that you gain from killing stuff, which give you abilities that continue to stack as difficulty and as the difficulty of the enemies rises over time. So, like, every second you're in that world, the difficulty of the game increases.
But the rewards also increase.
But the rewards increase. Yeah. And you're continuously stacking new abilities on top of yourself. Like, you're making your bullets electrified, and they explode. And you fire a homing rocket every 3 shots. And, like, you jump twice now. And you have twice as much shield. And all this stuff continues to stack. And it's a very, like, satisfying experience to get into it.
It's an interesting trade-off during the game. But continue.
Yeah. So I'm playing that again. It's super fun. We're trying to figure out how to get the online working because it's very confusing. Port forwarding and shit.
Dude, oh, yeah.
I am not that kind of person. I don't understand how it works.
Dude, Minecraft.
Did you have to do the same thing for Netplay?
You have to do it for Starbound and not for Smash, but you had to do it for a lot of, like, Steam games.
I remember, like, OG Minecraft was like that.
Yeah. I remember that reading and watching YouTube videos just to be like, how do I play with my goddamn friends?
Also, I want to play Minecraft again, like, really bad. Like, I want to start, like, a fresh survival game with somebody. I love Minecraft. Anyway.
I don't.
I love it. I'm done with Minecraft.
I'm pretty over it.
I love it. I had such fun times with that game.
Yeah.
But guys, we have a lot of news to discuss.
Let's talk about it.
We've got some new stuff coming up. First and foremost, a few days before this podcast, Nintendo announced its online services and exactly what people will be getting for their $20 per year.
What will those people be getting, Justin?
Wait, are they cutting out the last attempt last year? That, like, app, or is it just a revamp?
No, essentially what's happening, and I guess this shouldn't be a surprise, but it kind of irks me a little bit, is that the online service is essentially paying for all of the things we already have.
What do you mean?
So, the $20 per year gets you the ability to play games online, like Mario Kart, like Splatoon.
So wait, are you not allowed to do that now?
After, I believe,
they're gonna take it away from
you. I believe it starts September 2018. Yeah, they take it away from you. So
what?
It's $20 a year, which is not bad. The only upshot.
They just don't want to do it for launch, so
PlayStation doesn't. You can play PlayStation online with that, right?
No.
Liz, that was stupid. All right, continue.
So the only new things that you get with it is you get to do cloud saves, which seem to be hurting Liz more than helping her.
as long as they work properly, it's fine.
You get a lot of 20 NES games that you can play, like, offline, or any game that supports multiplayer has online multiplayer added into it.
The cloud saves alone is good, because, like, I have a few friends
that... Cloud saves has been driving me crazy that you don't have them.
You can't transfer data at all from the Switch.
I don't understand why you would need to.
Like,
maybe that just doesn't...
People were breaking systems with that third-party adapter thing for a while, and when that happened, I heard a few people of my friends who had that, they couldn't get their... hundreds of hours from, like, Mario or Zelda out at all. Like, it was just gone.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's never a feature that's particularly benefited me on any console that I've played on. I guess it's useful, you know, but, like, whatever.
I mean, have you bricked any... You've bricked your PS3. Did you lose all of your information or your data? No, you had a hard drive that you could just pop out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I've used it. And if you have your...
I honestly
a jerk like me and you have, like, multiple of every single... console at your house because you live with three other nerds.
Yeah.
It's useful. Or if you're like I think I played Final Fantasy 15, played all of it at home, and then like I was at Alex's and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna beat the game while I'm here.
Yeah.
For
X, Y, and Z reason. And I like didn't expect that to be useful, but then when I could use it, I was like, wow, this is great.
Yeah, it's yeah, pretty great.
Like
yeah.
I could understand
and, like, being
for
able to, like, start, password. And like so we have multiple consoles. I tried to start God of War in the living room, tried to finish it in the bedroom.
Yeah.
GG.
Yeah. Start in the living room, finish up in the bedroom.
But it worked for my brother because he started in his bedroom and finished in the living room, and as he just hacked my save file to bits.
Yeah. That does suck. Oh,
so I guess the online save thing is cool. Yeah. Like, good to have, I guess, for those that make use of it. The NES game thing is a bit odd because it comes with a little bit of subtext, which is that virtual console will not be a thing on Switch, period.
At all.
Period, yeah. But what's interesting is I have a feeling, and I'm not, this is not my idea, I'm like taking
so they're
this.
They're not doing it at all.
Well, I'm taking this concept wholesale from Pat from the CU podcast, because they were just talking about this. He's under the assumption that the $20 price point that people come in for, they get these 20 NES games.
Okay.
He's assuming that for, you know, $25 a year, instead of that, you might get access to 10 SNES games with it. And then if you do $40 a year, you might get 20 NES games or SNES games with it. Hmm. Like, you can almost, like, it's almost like a tiered subscription service of how many, like...
Are these games rotating out?
I don't think so. I think that once
so
they're there
good
permanently.
To go?
Yeah.
So it's like
but
a
what's also
Plus
interesting is that
freeze?
They... But they also work online... They have online multiplayer. And have, from what I understand, very interesting online functionality. For example, like Dr. Mario is one of the games that's in these 20.
Okay.
Like, you can play that online with somebody else. Which is cool. Versus
that's
like,
cool.
Even cooler, and I think you'll like this a lot, the original Legend of Zelda is one of those games as well. Ooh. But what you can do is be in a session with somebody online, and you can pass control of the game
so you can
back
watch
and forth between
dude,
people.
Dude, that's awesome. I already do that, but it's on the couch with friends.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Just an interesting concept.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm cool with that.
Interesting.
Like, I'm cool with them adding that, but that's not, like...
That seems pretty novel.
I'm probably not going to be playing NES games on my Switch, though.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not, like, super... Like, it's cool that it's there, sure, you know? But, like, I don't really care,
They're
per se.
Still sticking with the phone situation, right?
Yes, the phone situation is still part of it.
That's
one
so
of the...
Terrible.
One you know, of the odd things, and this can't be true, this cannot be true, but the language is very strange in their press release, but they say that the online service will give you features like accessing the eShop, which makes no sense to me, because I don't know if that would be barred functionality, like you can't download games from their shop if you
don't already part of their online service. Here, right?
I don't know if that's true, though.
Going
it's just
along
oddly
same,
worded.
Well, if it went along the same vein as we're taking away all online functionality from games because we want you to pay it now,
yeah,
it makes sense that the online shop would be that as well. But then that also means that you're paying for a way to pay for more stuff.
Yeah. The thing is like, I'm not
Why
really...
Why would they do that? It's so much... It would, like, it's just a gate for them to get more money. Like,
yeah.
It's the money that you're going to get, maybe
well,
from
Nintendo
people subscribing, I feel like it's not going to be more
but
than, like,
the thing,
money that you would get people not subscribing and then just buying games online.
I think part of it is like, a... I don't know. Like, it kind of, like, illustrates value, right? Like, the Switch experience, this $20 per year is necessary for that. And that is just recurring income for Nintendo. It's been clear since the Switch came out that they do not need to charge for this. But they're doing it because that's
Imagine
because
if it's
they
like,
can, I guess.
You're not going to get firmware updates now unless you subscribe to the $20
also,
a year thing.
Also, $20 a year really isn't that bad.
It's not that bad. I wonder if it would be difficult for kids to, like, persuade parents that don't video game to spend something that's a yearly fee.
So that's what I mean. It would be.
Has that ever been a problem for you guys?
And then if the parents don't buy the subscription, like, then they're missing out on the money that the kids could still be buying online.
Yeah. Has that ever been a problem for you guys? Like, when you were a kid, did you ever, like, want to subscribe to a service or something that you needed, like, parental approval for?
Yeah.
Playboy.
Yeah. There was...
Well, not me, but James, like, I mean, I guess he's 5 years younger than you guys, but he wanted to, like, he had to go, like, at 16 I would have to, like, drive him to the GameStop and he'd have to, like, go buy a subscription of Xbox.
Oh, wow. I keep forgetting that you're younger than us.
Yeah.
Like, I also forget that they even have those, like, cards that you can buy at, like, 7-Eleven.
He would go, like, buy those cards, and he would buy, like a month, 6 months at a time, because my parents wouldn't pay for it, and he was not, like, he wasn't old enough to have a job. Or, he was barely old enough to have a job. He didn't have one.
Interesting. No, I had no idea. I mean, it's weird because...
What's the point of Halo 2 if you can't play it?
Well, yeah.
I mean, for us, like, by the time that was a thing, we were, like, grown-ass adults.
I totally was hit with something way before that. I had a very interesting experience with something like that.
What?
So I was heavily into Phantasy Star Online. Heavily
that was, like,
into Phantasy Star Online.
That, like, MMO craze.
That was OG, console-based MMOs. And I was, like, so into that. Like, me and my four friends, that's all we played. That was our jam. And, I remember we all got in, we were playing offline, and then my one friend, Jason, he got, like, and we were playing on GameCube, the episodes 1 and 2, he got the broadband adapter and started playing online, and I remember going to his house and being like, dude, this is so cool, like, the game is so different, like, I really want to play it this way. So, for my birthday, I asked my dad for the broadband adapter so I could play online.
Yeah.
So he gets it for me, and I was like, oh, great, like, that was my big present that year, was the broadband adapter for GameCube. And I plug it in and I start getting it set up, and then to play Phantasy Star Online, it was like $10 a month. So then I remember going to my dad and being like, I don't have a credit card, like, can I use yours for this? And he was like, fuck no. Yeah. Like, absolutely not. And I was
the idea of buying things online was gritty and nasty.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Like, it was always like a thrifty, you know, sleazy, snake oil kind of situation.
I mean, we're talking 2001, 2002, something like that.
I remember having to ask my mother, because I didn't have an email, to make a Neopets account.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's great. That's great. So then your mom's getting all these Neopets emails, like, what the fuck is this, Liz?
God knows she didn't know how her email worked well enough to, like, know how to stop those emails from coming.
That's so funny.
I had a credit card when I was a kid. And no, in high school. Was it high school? Yeah, beginning of high school, but just for emergencies. Mm-hmm. But
Had
the only time I
on
bought anything online was Gaia Online, like, special items.
Oh,
that
my
God. I would have no problem doing that.
Did
also,
you get
Maple
the
story was a big
Justin! What are all these charges on this credit card?
There was a question for a moment where they were like, what are you buying from Maple Story, Nexa? What is that? And I was like... Is these cool pixel cut, like, clothes that I could get new hair and stuff?
And they're
like,
what? We're taking credit card privileges away from you.
Pretty much.
Also, you're punished to go to your room.
I think that too, though, now about, like,
pretty much.
I think about, like, I didn't buy anything online when I was in high school because I didn't have a credit card. But nowadays, is that really an option? Like, I buy everything online. And, like, if you're going to be 16, in 16 years, my kids are going to...
Yeah.
Need to buy things online.
You're gonna have a barcode
like,
on your hand.
Like,
that's just gonna
think about
pay out
it.
Credits.
Like, what are kids gonna have to do?
Well, no, because they could just be like, "Okay, Google, buy whatever off of Amazon."
Right.
It'll just happen.
No, please don't do that.
Yeah,
Google,
don't do
stop.
That. Google, stop.
Wow.
So yeah,
stop talking to her.
So Nintendo Online Service. I mean, a thing that's happening. I guess it's cool to have some clarity on it. Nothing. No big surprises. I guess.
Right.
Yeah. I guess just the lack of virtual console, which is honestly like. Not a huge surprise to me, considering how well the Classic Edition runs of consoles are going.
Yeah.
So, and we know it's not going to stop with that. I'm honestly surprised we haven't heard about the N64 Classic yet.
That's going to be huge.
It's going to
be ridiculous.
Huge.
Also,
yeah.
That box is going to be way bigger, because those N64 controllers were way bigger.
Liz, you should come over and play my new HD N64. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I'll bring it over for Extra Life this year. It's really, really great.
Yeah, I'm down.
Like, everything looks awesome. You know what I've been playing a lot of? Diddy Kong Racing. That game is so fucking good.
That game was really good,
That
actually.
Game is so good.
You get to pick the plane or the car.
Like, we had, like, our first two games we had were Banjo-Kazooie. Mario Kart 64 and Diddy Kong Racing.
I got Banjo-Kazooie, or I got Mario Kart 64 as well.
And
Very
I always preferred Mario Kart, and my brother always preferred Diddy Kong Racing, and I was fucking lost at Diddy Kong Racing, so of course that's the one he wanted to play, because he could beat me every time, and now I have negative connotations.
I just liked it because of the adventure mode. The adventure mode was great.
Yeah.
There's an adventure mode?
Yeah, it's a game changer. It was so good. Yeah, that's what
like
made that game amazing.
Open area
I remember my cousin... Actually, funny story about that one. Last tangent. My cousin came over one time when N64 was like the shit.
Yeah.
And he got Diddy Kong Racing the day it came out and brought it over. And me and my brother, our minds were blown. We were like, this game is incredible.
Look at these graphics,
because we were... Because we played Mario Kart, but Mario Kart is just like an instant-based thing. You're only ever racing on a track,
right?
But in this, it's like there's this whole world
open,
that you could drive around.
Yeah.
And you could drive planes? Like, what?
It was like a weird platformer.
It blew my mind. So after he left, we asked my mom, I was like, Mom, we need, like, I don't think you get it. We need Diddy Kong Racing. And she was like, oh, okay, I'll get it for you. And then, like, 2 days later, she comes home and she's like, hey, Justin, I got you that game you wanted.
That's awesome.
And I was like, oh, no way. And she shows me a copy of Donkey Kong Country 3 on Super Nintendo. And I'm like, Mom, no.
So close.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then she stopped buying games for me for the rest of my life because she's like, I don't know what the fuck you want.
That's funny as fuck. It has some monkeys in it, I think.
Man, that's so funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, N64 Classic will be cool. That will make Nintendo a lot of money. You know who else is making a lot of money right now?
Oh,
fucking Capcom.
Yeah.
Capcom is currently experiencing the most profitability that they've ever experienced.
Yeah.
And do you know why? Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter
sold almost 10 million units at this point. 7.9 million.
And it's only been out for, what, 2 months now?
Yeah. Which is kind of awesome, considering that, like, this one game, it doesn't really surprise me, but this one game basically turned Capcom around. Capcom was in a bad spot for a long time.
Like, their
launch of Street Fighter V, like, they fucked up for a long time.
Yeah.
And this game is totally swinging them around.
Good for them. Honestly, like, I'm happy for them. Monster Hunter was definitely the right play, I think.
Yeah. Like, and they're, like, one of the powerhouse third-party developers that's, like, left still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, most of them are, like, second-party now. Like, you've got, like, Sucker Punch on, they're, like, totally PlayStation people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing with, you know, Quantic Dream and all these other ones. Rare is now bound to Microsoft, but Capcom.
Yeah.
Capcom is, like, the standalone third party that's like, yes, we're making stuff for everybody still.
Yeah.
And, like, it's awesome to see them get a win like this.
Yeah.
And to see them in this position.
I mean, the game is so good. And also, the replayability. Like, I thought once you were going to be done with all the monsters, like, that was it. But no. They've been supporting it so well.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Very seriously.
Yeah.
And it's grounded, and it's great because it stems from a really good game. It's not just fluff for the sake of fluff.
Yeah.
Not choking, sorry.
Yeah. While he chokes, they made the combat a little bit more accessible to people,
mm-hmm.
though still there's a pretty high learning curve. And also, as far as like the content you're fighting,
like,
there's
compared
tons
to when the game launched or compared to the previous.
I would say
compared to the
monsters.
Previous ones.
I would say to ones. Compared to average games, like
all the other
Monster Hunter requires a bit of learning,
yeah.
but having played only one other Monster Hunter game in my life, it was way easier to get into Monster Hunter World. Like the original Monster Hunter, I played 3 Ultimate on Wii U or something, and it's cool, but like I didn't know what was going on. And for a little while with World, I didn't know what was going on. But once I got it, I got it. And it's like, okay, we're in here. Like,
it's funny because like when we were all playing together, there's a point of which you didn't even know that you can like make new weapons and armor.
I didn't know what bounties were.
Yeah,
you were going into
like level quests that you were not prepared for and you kept dying. And me and Alex, we've played a lot of Monster Hunter before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of already knew what was going on.
Yeah.
But we didn't realize that you'd know nothing about the game, really.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So then at that point, it's like we started realizing that, this game still has a pretty high learning curve.
Yeah.
But it's way easier.
It definitely does, but it's like worth
way nicer.
It's worth
way nicer
understanding
people,
it because it creates so many –
like
I feel like by understanding all of the mechanics that are going on in the game, it makes every single time you play it so much more enjoyable
because
you're never not being productive.
Right.
Anything and everything you do is productive in some way, which is great.
It's like how Overwatch just only highlights all the positives that are happening in the game.
Exactly.
It's like a good feeling game.
So to bring it back to Capcom in general and their success, what's interesting about this now is that it's put them in a position to be actionable on their franchises, right? And they've already announced that they have 2 quote-unquote big releases happening within the next year, so before March 2019. They haven't announced what those games are, but I'm just kind of curious what you guys think their next games might be. They have some serious, serious franchises that they can work with, and I'm like, I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Like, I have an idea of what one of them is, and I don't think it's that big of a surprise.
Yeah.
I also would not count Mega Man 11 in this. I think that's going to be looked at as more of a side game.
I was
going to
say,
game.
I mean, well, they're already releasing Mega Man X Collection, right?
Yeah, but that's not a big release.
I mean, no, I'm saying, like, I think that's, like, that'll satiate for Mega Man for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Mega Man, I don't really know if anybody would really be interested in playing more Mega Man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love Mega Man, but still.
I think at least one of these titles is going to be a new Devil May Cry. I think it'll be like a proper Devil May Cry 5.
That's interesting.
I think that that's I mean, they've talked about the fact that they're making a Devil May Cry game, but that was kind of it. They just said that like way back when, and nobody ever heard anything about it.
Went over well.
Well, the rebrand one was like very weird. Like it, like
we're talking about the one where he's like
DMC.
Yeah, DMC.
Where he has like short,
yeah, like brown hair and stuff. Yeah, confusing. Like as a game, the game played incredibly well, but fans rejected it so hard because they wanted their original Dante, which is why people are
not Dante.
Well, people are theorizing that they're
so bad
that they're just gonna like let that die. They're just gonna be like cool with letting that one go. And make this one a proper Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's going to be one of them. As far as what the next game is, the second of these big releases, I honestly don't know. Because Street Fighter is still, like, in the thick
somewhat
of it.
Fresh.
They're not doing anything with Street Fighter. I'm sure that that's the case. It could be a new fighting game, though. I mean, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was a huge flop for them. Like,
big disappointing.
Massively disappointing. Massively disappointing.
So you think they would jump? Yeah, I know.
I wanted to be. And then the thing is, I burned down on it before it even got bad. I was just like, it's just not what I wanted
it
to be.
You think it would be...
Dragon Ball is what I wanted it to be.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Dragon Ball. Oh, God. So hot right now.
Yeah.
like, Dragon Ball is so hot to the point where we're talking to some of these, like, tournament organizers, and they're like... We've never seen entry numbers like this before. There are just so many people.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really gotten up there. I don't know. Would they? Do you think they would dive back into a like another fighting game like so soon?
Maybe. Some people were theory crafting a like just a Capcom All-Stars, right? Like Marvel vs. Capcom was their big crossover game. So they're people are thinking that it might just be all Capcom stars. Mm. Like it could just be like, you know.
You mean like a Smash?
Like Dante versus Mega Man versus Jill Valentine versus... You know, fucking, I don't know, where are the Capcom people?
Why would they want those are all the Metro. Well, why would you need to, why would you want to do, you'd be stifling the roster from a game that already kind of exists, which is Marvel versus Capcom.
One of them could be the Resident Evil 2 remake. We haven't heard about that in a long time.
Mm.
Ooh.
When did Resident Evil 7 come out?
Last year?
Yeah, it was.
Last
I think
January?
Almost 2 years ago.
Was it? I feel like we've been... I feel
it's
like
been
it's
a while.
While.
It's been a while.
Last year, yeah,
last year. Anyway, but still.
Liz, look it up for us.
I am.
But Resident Evil 2 Remake was announced a long time ago, and that is going to be huge.
Yeah?
If they do it right, that's going to be
huge. Out of all
huge.
The Resident Evil games, which ones were the best?
Two.
Which one was the best?
Two.
Over four?
Yes.
Hmm.
All yeah.
Right. In my opinion.
2017.
Oh, yeah, there you
because
go.
Because that was the whole thing about 2017. It's like, oh my God, it's the greatest game for video games, because by like...
By like April, it was
we got
Horizon Zero
like
Dawn, Resident
Evil
7,
exactly.
Like all this shit,
and Resident Evil 7, Yakuza, like by like
Nier, yeah,
you had all these amazing games all come out first quarter of 2017.
Oh my God,
this year is going to be better,
this year's been
though.
Really good too.
This year's going to be better.
We
you
are
think
such
this year's going to be better.
Smash,
I
it's going to be Smash. Smash is going to be.
I can't
I
wait
disagree.
To go to E3 to play Smash.
I was going to say E3 is going to be a huge deal.
I feel like you always are the king of the hype train, and like. Like, I don't know that Smash is going to be any better than Mario and Zelda were. Like,
I'd rather live my life excited.
You say that now
I mean,
because the anticipation,
the
I feel like, of the game.
I'd rather live my life excited.
But when, all right. When,
no, I'm not, I'm sorry.
When Smash 4 came out.
I'm not crushing your excitement, Justin. I just think, to say that 2018 is going to be better than 2017, I mean, so far at this point in 2017, 2017 was better.
Yes, I would agree
with
that.
Well, that's
because
you had the Switch and, like, Zelda.
But
it
kept coming. It wasn't like 2017 ended in April.
Well, here's the thing. It's like...
Persona 5 was good, too.
Yeah, Persona 5 was... Wow, Persona 5 came out. Actually, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a tough year. Because
I mean, God of War...
There was so much...
2017,
there was so much variety last year.
History of being one of the greatest years for video games.
There was so much variety. Like, there was a... There was a buffet of delicious foods in front of you.
We couldn't keep up.
No.
Yeah.
And,
could
like,
not.
Beginning of this year, I was like,
it's
I don't
funny.
Really
I have to make serious
love anything
to play.
I don't
right.
really love Monster Hunter. Like, what else can I play? Nothing.
Monster
there's,
Hunter
there's
and
still...
God of War is the only, like, notable things for me so
Dude,
far.
Dude, there's still
Dragon
games
Ball.
From 2017 that I've been
Ball.
Meaning to play yeah. that I haven't.
However,
Evil Within 2,
this year,
Prey.
It was such a dry spot.
I will say that,
Prey
like, Smash, if, well, Smash is coming out this year, but, like, Smash won that. Smash 4 came out for the Wii U. People are noting that to be, like, the best fighting game of all time. Like, it was so good.
Smash
and
4?
Yeah, that was, like, fantastic.
And it's funny, because now we're looking at the community, and it's, like, not doing so hot.
Well, it's not doing so hot, because the moment that they announced the new Smash is, like, everybody's, like...
Everyone's
well,
like,
all right,
we're over it.
Game.
On to the next
yeah,
one.
Exactly.
It was just, like, Brawl, basically.
Brawl was...
Brawl was
like
dead on arrival.
Red Bull
almost.
Was bad. It was just bad, yeah. But anyway.
So, we were speaking of E3 a moment ago, and this leads
yeah,
us
sorry.
To our last and main topic for tonight, which is kind of open-ended.
Yeah.
And it's like, we can kind of make it, how like, take this wherever we want to. But, so, the floor plans for E3 were released. And one company is notably absent from the floor plans. Yeah. And that is Microsoft. Microsoft is not on the show floor for E3, which is strange. They are, however, hosting an event right next door at the Microsoft Theater and are claiming that it will be the biggest year for Microsoft in however long.
But they have to claim
that. They're going to do what everybody, like what
EA did.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they are, so this is a weird thing. This is a weird, I don't know if it's a good or a bad.
So it's interesting.
It's weird. It's not, I don't know if it's good or bad though.
I don't really know either, honestly, because ESA with the E3 and all that stuff, they're getting tons of new ticket buyers from like just the general public because they opened it up.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it sounds like, and it seems like Nintendo, 3 years ago, spun off and they're like, listen, we don't need to be there. We don't need to have like a giant like conference thing. We can just have like a booth set up and a lot of people with the booth. But then you have like EA who then spun off and they were like, we're just going to have our own event on the side, which people are just going to come from your event and come to my event, and it's probably going to be cheaper to like host. And Xbox, in this case, is probably just going to do the same thing. Maybe they want to do it like...
Let me throw out a concern for you, though.
Sure.
Like, with EA, they came packing, though. You know what I mean? They had Battlefield 1. They had that new Need for Speed or whatever. Like, but what I'm saying is they had games, right?
Yeah.
Like, Microsoft, at this stage, has basically nothing. And that's not me throwing shade. Being as serious as I could possibly be. They might have Crackdown 3, but we don't know if that's a fucking game yet.
Oh, wow.
And here's the thing, right?
Totally
this is E3. So like, this is where new games will be announced, but it would be highly unlikely that a lot of the games that they'll announce
new games
will be playable there, right? Uh-huh. They could announce 10 awesome games, and I hope they do. But like, I don't know if there will be stuff that's playable there. So if all they're doing is announcing stuff, and then they're running, you know, the, whatever iteration of Forza and like fucking Super Lucky Tail, whatever the fuck, like on their show floor, and probably, I bet you there will be like 20 or 30 setups for Sea of Thieves, and that's all they're running. Or is that going to be super memorable? I mean, I don't know. I honestly think that it would be very hard to believe that they could announce, like, Halo 6 and have it playable in their theater this year. I don't think that that's possible. I mean, I don't know.
That they've kept it under wraps that long and then surprise, you can play it
now. That would be hype as fuck. If they did it, it would be hype as fuck. But, like...
I don't think they would ever... No, not for a game like that. A game like that, they would want to squeeze as much as possible. They would definitely do marketing away beforehand.
Yeah.
They would definitely.
You think? Maybe they might just drop it at E3 and then just... start blasting marketing
a
afterwards.
Halo, maybe. I mean, they are honestly hoping
that's what they need. To come out with. Like that. What else could they possibly come out with that you'd
but
be?
Are
like,
people still hyped for Halo?
Like, well, I mean, this was sort of our conversation the other week where we're talking about Master Chief Collection getting a resurgence.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think honestly, if we're talking about what Microsoft needs to happen, they need new IPs. They need something fresh, something for people to get excited about from a company that knows what they're doing. Like the last time I remember them having something like that was Sunset Overdrive, and it was because Insomniac, the freaking Ratchet and Clank people made it. And they're like, yo, we're making something exclusive, totally new, totally original for Xbox. And people were stoked on it. It was a good game.
If I was to talk about the mileage on my Xbox, it would be probably in the vein of maybe...
Dozens of hours?
50 hours or something like that. You know what I mean?
Aw, sad.
It is sad because that goddamn system costs so much money.
I would have been better. I spent time with my Xbox and enjoyed it. I mean, there were certain...
I use the controllers for my PC more so than I do for
I literally only played exclusives on it. I played Sunset Overdrive, Halo 5, which was a disappointment, Halo Master Chief Collection, which was a major disappointment.
Yeah, yeah.
Quantum Break, which was okay.
I still have Halo 5 and I haven't even opened it yet.
Wow. Rare Replay was really good, and Ori the Blind Forest was
really good. Statues over there, and I don't even know who that other guy is. Who the hell is that other guy next to Master Chief? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a really weird move for Microsoft. I mean, on the one hand, it could bring a lot of attention to them because they are doing their own thing, but on the other hand, it could almost completely separate them from like the zeitgeist of what's happening there. You know what I mean?
Who cares?
That's what it is. If you're like, you're on the show floor of E3, like it is awesome seeing this fight for attention within that space.
They have a huge booth. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
It's a big presence on the show.
It's always been a big presence. Yeah. And the best part is like, except for last year, There was, you know, always, who took there's always spot? Been a there's always been an Xbox and PlayStation like next to each other, so that who you have that like Xbox PlayStation.
What's that?
Who took the spot last year?
Nobody took. I'm saying where they are situated in the show floor. Guess who took it
last
year?
Who took it?
Like usually they have a. There's always like pictures of the PlayStation logo next to the Xbox logo, like looking at it facing off.
Yeah.
Which one's bigger? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And they've always made it so that
that
hallway
part of
exactly.
Oh yeah.
Now it's gonna be.
So
blue and red
PlayStation
versus
there, like,
Nintendo.
That's Microsoft's
uncontested
choice.
Now, I guess.
But Square Enix took their spot, I'm really excited about, because my first thought was like they have enough games to do that, and then I was like Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be playable there.
Wouldn't it be
100% Kingdom Hearts 3
know,
is going to be playable there?
I know you guys hate. Like, wow. Are you coming?
I wasn't planning on that.
Like, that's like, if you think about that,
think,
like in that triad, in that triangle of space, you will have new Spider-Man playable at Sony. You're gonna have Smash Brothers playable at Nintendo, and you're gonna have Kingdom Hearts 3 playable at Square.
You know what? Okay,
how ridiculous is
that?
That
would
be.
That's gonna be. This is gonna be a great E3.
Star studded, dude.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I will say. I'm just going to throw this out there.
I also don't know if Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be playable there. I'm hoping that it will be.
Wouldn't it be funny?
I would think they better.
Wouldn't it be funny? I mean, obviously, I don't know if PR guys would ever take this risk, right? But wouldn't it be hilarious if Square Enix, like, double downing and having, like, this giant booth, had all that bad press around Final Fantasy VII Remake just to have something playable at E3? Wouldn't that be fucking hilarious?
Oh, that would be.
I want to hype everybody up so much so that we're going to set expectations down here. Like, the game's never going to come out.
Yeah.
But boom. What's up? Here it
is.
Bombing mission. Midgar.
It's not the Square Enix way.
I was going to say, if you guys are.
Square Enix way is to tell you about it 17 years in advance and then just never give it to you.
I will defer my response to this to our last video at youtube.com/TheZeroReview.
That's true, yeah. It was a great video. Good job on that one.
Check it out. Thanks, man. That was a fun script, right?
Yeah.
I think they're doing my other script this week, which would be good.
Yeah.
Everybody check out our channel. It's pretty sweet. Why am I stuttering today?
I just want Final Fantasy VII Remake to be a real thing. That's really what it comes down to.
I bet you they might have a new trailer for it.
Right.
They might have a new trailer for it.
The hype
is
too real. Like,
hope it happens in my lifetime.
I know.
I think.
Right.
I think
hope it happens where the nostalgia or the people who have the nostalgia for the game is still alive.
That's the thing. Like the way that I framed it in that essay is that it would be impossible for that remake to have the same sort of transformative experience that the first game was.
I don't think it's. Oh no,
that
no,
completely
you're right.
Shifted my
but
perspective of video games forever.
Dude,
forever
that's the game,
changed.
That's the game that made me into a gamer. Like I was like I played games back in the day, but like I enjoyed them. But until I played Final Fantasy VII, that was the moment where I was like, wow, I can have like emotional like.
Investment.
Right.
Yeah.
And also consistency. And also have a story that takes me through to the end after a 60 to 70 hour like gameplay.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like, wow.
It's crazy.
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of like Kingdom Hearts is kind of like that for me.
Yeah. That makes sense. Because you're like
different times.
Younger.
I was going to say different times.
Yeah.
Different
times.
So,
yeah, like Final Fantasy X and Kingdom Hearts. Those
wow.
Are like,
okay.
Like
okay.
3 years behind.
As, you know, funny enough, it's Square Enix that has essentially crafted those stories for us.
They create incredible experiences,
but then they get
they
too
do.
Far up their butt and then they just do weird Japanese anime bullshit.
Well,
that's,
see,
I'm not about and
man, that's what I'm hoping success.
Why was there a little
chocobo? Because that's what Capcom was. That's what Capcom was for a long time. They thought their shit doesn't sink. Guess what? They fucked up.
Yeah,
but then they learned and they released Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
And now that they're seeing the success of Monster Hunter and it's a legit good game, that's the
key,
right?
Now you got to think. Okay, I'm gonna throw this out there now. Do you think we are now in an upward sloping, like, you know, video game trend versus like maybe there was like a plateau, the valley? When was the valley? Was that like 2016, like 2015-16, where everything kind of like went into this microtransactions,
okay,
not finished games?
It's very weird
bullshit.
17 I feel like the games, so many games have come out like in the past year that were like, I feel like you weren't sure what we weren't sure about. Like, I feel like people were like
Destiny
really hyped about originally,
and
then like right before it came out, I was like, well, maybe
another
it's not going to live up to the hype, and then performed
delivered.
Super well. Like, I feel like that happened with like Resident Evil 7.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it was like,
Resident Evil
7
was
not going to work.
That was a huge question mark.
Yeah.
That was a
yeah,
huge
was,
question
yeah.
mark
and I feel
for
like
a while.
That, I feel like kind of happened with Horizons. Everybody was like, robot dinosaurs, awesome. And the closer it got, people were like, it's never
well,
going to live up to
no,
that.
No, no. I think Horizon.
God of War, I feel like same thing. Like, I feel like all of these games are are at living up to the hype.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, was there a valley here somewhere? What year would that valley be where things were just kind of shitty? Because I remember hearing and talking about all these glitches and these fucking, like, problems and the game not being released with all of the game being there. Like, that was a big problem.
I think you can't look at the industry in totality like that, because there are certain companies that maintain their ability to fucking kill it, and then others that just maintain their ability to fuck it up.
Here's my point of view, right? So, I'm talking like maybe when we got out of college, 2010, right?
Oh, yeah.
At that point, when we started really getting into the video game industry, everything was like on an upward angle slope. Like,
what was
the PS3, the Xbox.
New then?
What?
I'm trying to think what was new then. That was E3 2011.
Yeah.
That was PlayStation Move time.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
what
okay,
the
so
fuck was
that?
That was after the whole
Wii.
That was a dip.
I remember going to my first E3 and being able to see the Wii U in action and thinking,
yes,
wow, this is super novel and interesting, right? That was the moment of, like, the Move, right? But then after that, shortly after, people started seeing, like, okay, these AAA titles are getting, like, a little, like, ahead of, like, kind of full of themselves. That's when the indie revolution started coming up, and now the indies became such a big thing out of nowhere.
It's almost like flooded
at
this point.
Exactly. And then the AAA titles started taking some ideas from the indies, and then we started talking about, like, things like, I don't know, microtransactions, DLC started being a big thing, not necessarily part of the indies. But then that's also when people are like, oh, wait, I don't have to finish the game right now because I could just patch it in later. Let's just sell the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's also when the early access thing started and all this other bullshit.
Yeah.
And then, finally, after all that shitty shit where the indies almost superseded, like, the AAAs, now the AAAs are finally like, guys, we got to re-up our game. We got to do things right. And now 2017 comes around and, like, bam. Bam!
I get the same feeling too.
Right? Does that
feel
like that? Does
that
like the ebbs and flows of the industry?
They thought they had it, and then like the consumer's always changing. The consumer was like, "No, man, because if you don't,
there's the Candy Crush era that we lived through too.
If you don't like perform and you don't give us what we want, we'll leave.
Well, that's the thing.
There's other options now.
It's almost
you have to change your scope and be like, realize what, you know, chase after those trends and realize what people are.
The competitive environment
is
completely different now.
It was almost like publishers tried to. They were trying to suss out how much they could get away with in that vein, like how far they could monetize.
Yeah.
And I think because the backlash was so intense and so heavy, they pulled it all back.
Yeah.
And I think God of War is a perfect exemplification of that. There is not a single trace of microtransaction bullshit in that game, and it is easily the most quality game that we've played in a long time.
Yeah,
and
it is a solid $60 purchase.
Yeah.
Like, from just out of the box.
DLC... probably going to spend more money
on
it.
Yeah. And there was like one complaint for God of War, which was the text was too small in these giant boxes. Why? And now they have like a text update. Like, you can up
Jim Sterling made a really good point where he said games like God of War are super important, where because it is like a console exclusive, right? Because the publishers need to prove why their game is worthwhile, so it almost encourages them to make the most quality stuff ever.
Definitely.
And I think that that's a testament to why Sony is killing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people only gave a shit about third parties, people would buy Xboxes and be fine. Because if you put a PS4 Pro next to an Xbox One X, the One X is more powerful by every standard.
Yeah.
By every metric, it is a better system. But nobody gives a shit because there's nothing you want to play on it. You can't play God of War on that. You can't play Nier on that. You can't play Persona 5 on that. Can't play Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Can't play fucking Persona.
Can't
play Horizon.
Can't play
you know what I mean?
It's like they took all their marketing dollars to go into essentially making this new console, but then didn't use any of that budget to find studios that would develop on this.
And you know what? I think Microsoft has learned that, and I think they had to learn that lesson the hard way. So now they're like, because I mean,
but also they're like,
and here's the thing:
company wise, they're way bigger than like
they
Microsoft
are way bigger. And,
they
and
have so many other things.
Absurd.
And this
yeah.
is one of the things that I didn't really consider about that. They don't need to make money off of Xbox, the brand Xbox. They don't need to. Sony lives and dies off of PlayStation, literally.
Yeah.
It is their most important brand.
It's hilarious.
You think
to me.
Sony
That's
movies is making more
right
money?
Now.
Fuck no. You think their Bravia TVs are? Absolutely not.
You think anybody's buying Blu-rays?
Seriously,
really.
But like, it's because PlayStation is their most important brand.
Yeah.
With Microsoft, Microsoft was big enough where they could just fucking buy Minecraft.
Yeah.
And now the people buying it on PlayStation are paying Microsoft.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit.
That's so
they're
funny.
Making money off of everybody.
Yeah.
Like, people buying Minecraft on 3DS and fucking Switch, that money's going to Microsoft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Licensing.
It's insane. So, like, they don't – I felt like they've realized that they don't have much – they don't need to try as hard. Right. But I think now, because the brand is in a position where they've realized, like, okay, people aren't going to care about this. This is not going to be, like, a successful brand unless we do the right thing with games. You know, I think that's a lesson they've learned, and I think that's where the direction they're heading.
I really hope that's what's presented at this Xbox press conference.
This is important for them.
It is really important.
This is extremely important
for them. I hope it's not like a shallow fucking worldwide exclusive bullshit that they did last year. I really hope it's like an actual good exclusive like piece.
Do you know what's cool about this industry? I don't think there's another industry that's like... Like, this brand has so much to lose and so much to gain because of this conference. So do you think places like Microsoft spend their whole year being like, we have to make the most kick-ass E3 conference, because that's essentially going to create the faith that people spend their money on for the next year.
There's an entire team behind that. After the first, after the last E3, they are immediately like, give me some fodder. I need something to throw at people.
I think that's what, like, I think there's a whole team that's dedicated. I was watching.
Called PR.
But also, I feel like there's probably somebody that's dedicated to E3, like, all year round.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, like, I think what Justin's saying, like, the people identifying relationships, that they're like, give me some fodder, that is totally real. And the thing is Microsoft has has shown their ability to flex that. I mean, they got Cuphead. Yeah. Cuphead's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, that is a quality original game that was exclusive to them. Good for them, you know what I mean?
They probably paid them a lot of money, but at the same time, these guys are an indie studio, so it's fucking great that they actually, like, invested that kind of
Totally. Yeah. And frankly, you know? That game probably couldn't exist unless Microsoft got behind it, so good on both of them, you know what I mean? I think they have the ability to flex that and to create those relationships that matter, as long as they don't burn them down like fucking scale down.
I hope it's just not
Phil
Spencer again and his like Vice City bullshit. Like,
let me drop this car
Blazer
on you.
Bullshit.
Also, let's talk about Porsches. Teraflops.
Yeah. Let's talk about those flops.
Most powerful system in the world.
Oh my god.
And then
you can play
stage.
The same bullshit on it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the only games on the Xbox One X at the moment that you can actually like tap into those hyper realist those flops is like racing games.
It's true.
It's
not a bad thing. It's serving a market. I mean, Forza
but...
is the front runner in it, which is ridiculous because like they put Polyphony to shame. Gran Turismo isn't shit anymore.
Yeah.
Did you know a new Gran Turismo came out like last month?
Yeah.
A new Gran Turismo.
Wait. Really?
It was called Gran Turismo Sport, and nobody gives a shit.
No.
It's crazy, man.
It's sad because that game, Gran Turismo, was so formidable back then.
It was?
Like, it was
the simulation racing game.
Like, I fought for it over Forza and Toka in the beginning because I just, like, I was loyal to that brand, but they just did not deliver.
It's funny, that's why Microsoft stands behind Forza so much, because they fucking killed it with Forza.
Yeah. They literally killed Gran Turismo.
Yeah, it's true.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Polyphony Digital is going to go by the wayside soon.
If nothing else, the fact that Xbox is making a drastic change just to the environment of where they're going to be hosting their shit I feel like it's a good sign. I want to believe that it's a good sign.
Yeah, no,
I want the competition. I want the PlayStation versus Xbox versus Nintendo, you know, mashup again.
Yeah.
But at the moment it's like for the past year, all of last year, Xbox was just it was just vacant.
Well, yeah.
Crackdown was like the only thing that really caught my eye, and that didn't even come out.
It's not even like people were talking shit about them. They literally weren't even part of the conversation.
They weren't even like, part of the conversation.
And, like, that sucks. You know what I mean? So I think they know that. I think they know they have something to prove, and hopefully this tactic for not being on the E3 show floor and doing their own thing is heading in that direction.
Yeah.
This is only the first of many podcasts that we will be talking about E3 predictions. I'm sure next week's will be heavily... predictory.
Yeah.
Because I love this shit, man. Yeah. This is video
like,
game Christmas.
Every time
it's
around
the best part of the year.
Mid-year, it's always like another hype moment just to start speculating on how the industry is going to like evolve and change.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like the best part, I feel like, about being part of video games.
Absolutely. But for now, we will leave you with these thoughts on Microsoft. Next week, I'm sure we'll be talking more about that stuff.
Yeah.
Guys, it was a pleasure.
Yeah.
To all of our listeners on discord.gg/TZR who can join us every Wednesday for the podcast, thank you for hanging out with us. If you want to reach out to the podcast, you can reach us at podcast@thezerorreview.com. You can also download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, or any other podcasting services across the web. Mm. But for now, thank you, Liz, and thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
And we'll see you on the next one.
All right.
Peace out.